data elements and sources. Identifying data elements and methods for data analysis. The data elements that should be collected depend on the event being monitored and the statistical measures used to analyze the data. To use time and personnel resources efficiently, data collection should be limited to only those elements that are needed to identify a case and determine whether the case criteria are met for the condition or event being studied. Data collection is an integral part of any surveillance program and requires a large daily time investment by an IP. Therefore, IPs should draw on their interdisciplinary team for collection support. Frontline staff can facilitate the timely collection of a broad range of relevant data. For an infectious event, the following types of data may need to be collected: case name, sex, age, unique identifier such as medical record or account number, unit or location in the facility, physician name and service, date of admission, date of onset of infection, type of infection, date of discharge, transfer, or death, clinical and laboratory, information needed to determine whether the case definition is met, results of laboratory and diagnostic tests specified in the case definition and dates performed, sites and dates cultured and organisms isolated, antibiotic susceptibility of significant isolates, clinical signs and symptoms specific for the infection being monitored, risk factors for the infection being monitored, host factors such as underlying conditions and diseases, surgical procedures and date performed, surgeon, use of intravascular catheters, including date of insertion, duration of use, vascular catheter days, catheter type and body site, use of a urinary catheter, including date of insertion and duration of use, urinary catheter days, mechanical ventilation and dates and duration of use, ventilated days. Data requirements related to selected data analysis methods. Before data collection is initiated, the statistical measures that will be used to analyze the data must be determined so the requisite data can be collected. If rates or ratios will be calculated, the values corresponding to each numerator and denominator must be defined, and the appropriate data needed to calculate each rate or ratio must be collected. Key point: whenever possible, data should be expressed as rates or ratios that are calculated using the same methodology. Nationally validated surveillance platforms may enable standardized rates or ratios, which allow for benchmarking to other organizations using the same definitions. This allows an organization to compare its rates with those of another organization or a recognized benchmark. In some cases, the data collected will be converted into a compliance rate. For example, if there are 10 total steps required to complete daily room cleanings and 8 of those steps are observed to be followed, then the compliance rate would be 80%. Number of observed steps divided by the number of required steps, 8/10 equals 0.8 equals 80%. Surveillance data, sources, and collection. Surveillance data can be broken down into demographic, event, process, and time categories, each of which can contain a mixture of qualitative and quantitative data. Demographic data is socioeconomic in nature. For the purposes of healthcare surveillance, this includes information related to the population makeup of the healthcare facility. Are they a patient or HCP? What is their age, sex, and ethnicity? Where are they located, unit, wing, room, at the time of infection as well as their bed history prior to infection? Demographic data is critical when considering health equity and helps promote quality initiatives to address equity disparities. For example, when race, geography, income, and other factors have a relationship with infection rates or vaccination rates that vary across a community, as happened during the COVID-19 pandemic, responses can be tailored to address the most significantly impacted or at-risk community more specifically. Knowing patient location, whether in the facility or more broadly by city or region, can help identify where infections and outbreaks occur, where certain procedures take place, and where patients reside. The patient's profession might also be useful when investigating outbreaks by informing the IP's understanding of where and how an infection or disease is being transmitted. Similarly, knowing departmental data about HCP infections could reveal information related to location-specific issues. The IP will also collect information based on event data, specifically high-volume, high-risk events in the healthcare facility. These can include HAIs, example, bloodstream, urinary tract, pneumonia, surgical site, conjunctivitis, upper respiratory tract, skin and soft tissue, or local intravenous site. There are 4 major categories for HAI surveillance: centraline-associated bloodstream infections, CLEBSIs, catheter-associated urinary tract infections, CAUTIs, surgical site infections, SSIs, ventilator-associated events, VAEs, / healthcare-associated pneumonia, HCP, colonization or infection by a specific organism, example C, difficile, MRSA, or other EMDROS, Sharps injuries, communicable diseases, or body fluid exposures in HCP. Tuberculin skin test / TB blood test conversion rates in HCP. Influenza immunization rates in HCP and patients. Pneumococcal immunization rates in patients. COVID immunization rates in patients and HCP. Hepatitis B immunization rates in HCP. Levels of illness / infection among HCP. Potential outbreak / pandemic / bioterrorism organisms. Quality assurance test results. Example, sterilizers and disinfectants are working as expected. Negative airflow in isolation rooms is functioning properly. Each area of surveillance will have specific surveillance requirements. For example, for SSIs, surveillance depends on the type of surgical procedure. Procedures involving implants typically have a 90-day surveillance period, while others have a 30-day period. Superficial infections are determined within the first 30 days from the date of a surgical procedure, while deep, involving muscle and fascia, and organ space. Below the fascia, SSIs may take up to 90 days to be clinically discernible. Due to the trend of shorter inpatient care, some of this surveillance may need to occur in an outpatient setting. Types of SSIs are covered in greater detail elsewhere. Information related to the policies and procedures followed in the facility is known as process data. These can include standard precautions, isolation / transmission-based precautions, central line insertion, maintenance, and removal, urinary catheter insertion, care and removal, safe injection and medication handling practices, antimicrobial prescribing and administration, environmental cleaning and disinfection, communicable disease reporting, installing and maintaining barriers during construction and renovation projects. Finally, in order to generate useful and actionable information, a surveillance program must be bound by time data. Typically, the measure of time should be in months, quarters, or years. By binding data by time, the IP can better analyze changes over time as well as establish a manageable time frame for investigation. Different facilities will have different data and information requirements based on their specific objectives, needs, and scope of service. An ambulatory care facility will have different information needs than a hospital, because each has a different set of risks that it is monitoring and attempting to mitigate. Therefore, there are several factors that will inform the data an IP might choose to collect during surveillance. Some of these factors include populations being studied, including patients and HCP, procedures performed and services provided, acuity of care, a risk assessment that identifies risk factors for infection and other adverse events in the population studied, regional, national, accrediting, and other relevant agency requirements, including mandatory reporting requirements, available resources, both personnel and non-personnel, availability of the data required, public health needs, performance improvement initiatives, organizational objectives, data validity. It is important to ensure that the data collected during surveillance and outbreak investigations are valid. Validity is the degree to which a measurement, test, study, or other data collection method actually measures or detects what it is intended to measure. Specifically, the IP must ensure that the numerator and denominator data, that is, the population or group being analyzed, are correct. To validate the data is to be able to affirmatively answer the question, does this measurement actually measure what it claims to? The IP should ensure that all formulas used are correct, that calculations are checked for accuracy, and that the data collected in their facility are complete, timely, accurate, and consistent. Validation may be internal or external. Internal validation: active efforts by a reporting facility to assure completeness and accuracy of data. External validation: survey and audit process by external agency to assure quality of surveillance and reporting. For internal validation, electronic denominators should be compared to manual counts for 3 months, and counts should match within 5%. Surveillance data sources. IPs have a wide variety of sources from which to acquire relevant information for their surveillance needs. These sources can be grouped into either patient-focused or facility/staff-focused data. Patient-focused sources include medical and pre-transfer hospital records, paper and digital. Daily laboratory reports, example, microbiology, immunology, serology results, daily admissions lists, including diagnoses. Monthly reports of patient days and census data, separated by unit or department. Transmission-based precaution reports, including number of patients in isolation. Daily reports related to new orders, antibiotics or other medications, and acute condition changes. Device day reports. Radiology department test results. Intake/nursing assessments, generated upon admission to the healthcare facility. Interviews with caregivers. Incident reports. Departmental procedure and activity logs. Facility/staff focused sources include nursing care plan, sick leave or paid time off logs, health records, example, employee vaccination rates, night supervisor reports, pharmacy and laboratory records, can be faxed or emailed if there is no electronic access. Reports of injuries, needle sticks, and communicable disease exposures or infections. Registered Nurse Assessment Coordinators and Minimum Data Set, MDS, coordinators. Finance Department reports. Risk Management reports. Reports and other collaboration with IPs from transferring facilities. Observation of Care Processes reports. Reports from past performance improvement cycles. Checklists. Templates, including line listings, symptoms, and treatments, the IP should carefully consider the sources of available data to determine which are most important for their surveillance programs. This ensures that relevant data are collected and resources are not misused. Given this wealth of sources, it is important for the IP to remember that the data collection process should involve multiple individuals so that they do not get overwhelmed. This also ensures that data are collected in a timely manner and resources are used efficiently. Key point: surveillance data should be collected on a routine, systematic, and ongoing basis. The entire interdisciplinary team should be involved in data collection. Surveillance often requires IPs to collect information not only from multiple internal departments but also from externally contracted services, such as pharmacies and laboratories. Collecting laboratory and pharmacy information from different companies in different locations can prove challenging and time-consuming. To make this process easier, the IP should establish a schedule for routine deliveries of laboratory results and antimicrobial data, as this provides some predictability to the data collection process, freeing up more time for analysis. Having reports automatically generated and routinely delivered to the IP is the preferred method. The IP and IT it is imperative that every IP know how to use the IT systems at their disposal. Many surveillance tools, such as electronic medical records or EMRs, available to the IP can be used for data collection and analysis as well as information sharing and dissemination. However, not all facilities will have access to the latest systems for surveillance and data collection, such as new software or mobile devices. If more sophisticated tools are not available, IPs can rely on basic spreadsheet software for the compilation and analysis of collected data. Spreadsheets can be used to create line lists, evaluation forms, and more. They can also generate charts and graphs for easy visual presentation of data. Spreadsheets should be stored on secure servers, and all appropriate members of the interdisciplinary team should be granted access to them so they can update and input data as required. The spreadsheet should include all relevant patient information, including name, medical record number, room location, type of infection, symptoms, culture results, radiology reports, and a determination of whether an infection is healthcare associated or community acquired. It is strongly recommended that IPs use existing electronic databases whenever possible, with due consideration of their security/encryption. Should the need for a new database arise, for example, a new improvement metric gains priority or a new regulation requires a specific data set to be maintained and updated, then the IP should work on its creation with the facility's IT department. In terms of information sharing, IPs should, at a minimum, subscribe to email lists that share IPC-related updates and discussion items. These can include those from the authoritative guidance sources, Example, the CDC, regional health departments, or other professional organizations, such as the Association for Professionals in Infection Control and Epidemiology, APIC. These mailings inform subscribers about a variety of topics, including the occurrence of disease outbreaks, pandemics, emerging infectious diseases, and EMDROS, new and proposed mandatory reporting requirements, and the release of evidence-based practices for preventing infections. The mailings typically include links for getting more information, including on IPC measures. The IP is also responsible for ensuring that proper IT training is provided to all HCP who are asked to collect and analyze IP data using electronic tools such as spreadsheets, databases, electronic records, tablets or other portable devices, and any mobile applications used in the facility.